Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Given its critical mission, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs has to have an exemplary IT organization to provide the highest level of service to veterans. IT is a key enabler to the largest integrated healthcare system in the U.S., a benefits processing organization equivalent to a medium-sized insurance company, and one of the largest integrated memorial and cemetery organizations in the country, and many other components. VA's Office of Information and Technology is at a critical inflection point. Persistent internal challenges exist in delivering IT services, and external pressures are compelling OINT to change, adapt, and transform. This transformation seeks to establish a strong technical foundation that ensures alignment with VA's mission, data visibility, and accessibility. Throughout this transformation, VA's number one priority must be the veteran, ensuring a safe and secure environment for their information and improving their experience. What is the VA's IT strategy? How is VA changing the way it does business? And what about VA's Buy First strategy? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Laverne Council, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Laverne, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here, Mike.
Also joining us from IBM is Nicole Gartner. Nicole, welcome back, as always.
Oh, thank you, Mike. It's great to be here.
So, Laverne, before we begin talking about initiatives that you're pursuing, could you give us a brief overview of the history and mission of the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, VA?
Sure. It's the VA was really created far back than most people even realize. You know, we certainly are part of Lincoln's objective to bore the help those that were in the Civil War and the widows and the children that they left behind. But if you think about the veteran and the veteran's pension actually started with Washington and his understanding that those that really bore the burden of protecting us and fighting for us really should expect some level of remuneration of what they've done. From my vantage point, when I look at the Veteran Affairs Group, we provide health care, which many people hear about, but most people don't realize we're also the largest integrated health care system in the country and support 8 million veterans, an average of about 240,000 actions a day in health care. The benefit side of us, or what is called Veteran Benefits Administration, is actually, I would say, the equivalent of a medium-sized insurance company, providing everything from compensation and pension support, if people are disabled, making sure that they receive remuneration for that, but also all the things that we relate to the GI Bill, mortgages, and educational support, et cetera. So a large tranche of work there. We also have the National Cemetery Group, which is the largest of its kind, and may manage a number of large cemeteries around the country. Myself personally being the child and children of many people that are veterans, about 60% of the men in my family are veterans, including my dad, my stepdad, and my father-in-law, who all utilized the honor guard and the process that was given to them. And I can tell you they do a great job. But in addition, we also have what we call our corporate functions, which are the normal things, finance, HR, supply chain. And so it is about 400,000 employee organization, one of the largest agencies within the federal government. And the focus is to make sure that we meet the mission. And the mission is to support our veterans and those that have taken care of us. And I take that very seriously. And so when I received a call, I said, there's nothing more I can do. And I'm more than happy to support it.
So now that you've told us a little bit more about the VA, let's talk about your role in your specific area. Can you give us some overview of your responsibilities and your duties as the assistant secretary?
Well, I'm the uber guru of all things that I have to do. information technology. Yes, it's a new one. I make it up, the Uber. But I'm the Assistant Secretary and Chief Information Officer for Veteran Affairs. And in that role, I'm responsible for about 8,000 employees, 8,000 contractors. 56% of those folks are veterans. I manage an appropriation of a little over $4 billion and really in support of all the areas that I mentioned to you. My objective and the objective that I have every day is to think about how we're going to change that veteran's experience, how we're going to make it easier for the folks that support them to utilize technology in doing that, and also ensuring that we are secure with their information as well as our employee information. It is a full-time job. Technology is a core part of everybody's lives today. And so with all the things that come with that, including what I call the consumerization of IT, because they have it at home, you know, people want it at work. And so IT always has to be looking at the new, but in this case, looking at it for the veteran and thinking about what can we do to give them access and to their information and make it seamless to them when they come to the VA for benefits.
So what's the, say, three top management challenges for the Uber guru?
I think probably the biggest one is working culture. That's always the hardest. And what I mean by that is just because you have the drive and we all come for the mission, reminding people why they come for the mission and why change is okay, it's good, it won't hurt you. And especially in IT, which is, as we all know, a new science when you think about it. I always remind people that if you just think about 30 years ago, certain things didn't even exist. You know, the idea that you would even walk around with your own cell phone was almost unheard of. That was something everyone didn't have access to. So technology changes lives, and we have to be open on a cultural basis to change. And so that's one of the big issues. I think the second is to ensure that we're using all the resources provided to us to our best of our abilities. And you might say, well, that shouldn't be hard. Well, it is if you're not really aware of what all you have available to you. And if you're not also engaged in knowing that it's okay for you to use them. So empowering the employee is something that I've really focused on and ensuring that they know who they are and that they have these rights. And so we've started a We the People campaign, which is an employee task force campaign. And they're really out there saying, we're the ones, we can do this. Because I think empowerment is really important, especially today when people sometimes think they can't make the decision. I'm just there to remind them that they can. And I think the third thing is, you know, this role requires that I have a line into the hill and because it is a separate appropriation and people want to know what's happening with technology, but also that there is a strong pull into what we have to do to the White House as a presidential appointee and then to the resources within the VA. So you end up really thinking about what the right things to do, who you need to tell what. So communication is everything in my business and making sure that I'm communicating well, often, and accurately. And so it is a constant. It's something I think every leader has to do. And in this role, it's really a requirement.
Wow. Well, when we think about the breadth of your experience, and you talked about the number of people and the budget, now really these significant areas of change and challenge that you just talked about, there's always surprises. There's always things that are unanticipated. What's the biggest surprise that you've had as you're now in your role for a little while?
Wow. I have to think about that. Was it a surprise or was it? I think, you know, as I've done this role, it's been interesting. What has surprised me as an American citizen, you know, and to be called a civilian itself is an interesting conversation, but is just how much opportunity we have in the government to do the things that we could do. I think it surprised me that we sometimes are not taking full use of that. You would hope and you think that you know it's a big corporation that the U.S. government is, but you're always hoping that there's things that they know that they can do, that they're doing. And I think sometimes we don't leverage as much of what I think we would be leveraging from private as well as within the government, because there's so much that private industry has taken from the government and leveraged very quickly, but I don't necessarily see it being reciprocal. And I think that's a surprise for me.
So that's a good segue to the next question, which is you have a tremendous benefit of the perspective that you bring to your role. Let's talk a little bit about your background. What led you to where you are today? Could you give us just a little history of Laverne and how you got where you are?
The story as we know it, as my husband calls me, the unicorn. The fact is, I never saw myself in federal employ. One, because, you know, I'd been in private industry at for a long time. 30 years of my life has been spent working on global missions, living in Europe for a couple of years, really driving global supply chains and technology. I was a partner at Ernst & Young. I then went to Dell and focused in high tech. My background is primarily high tech, telecom, and pharmaceutical. And you might say, what do I have to do with supply chain? Well, the concept is because they're so intense on capital, it allows you to have a competitive advantage through free cash flow. So I was one of those kinds of people. Then I got the call to join J&J, and I was their youngest officer and the first person that ever was recruited from the outside as an officer. And I was their first global CIO. And the objective was to take the 250 operating companies and across 57 countries and make that a global entity for IT. And I'm proud to say that happened. We put in two different strategies while I was there. And as a change agent, one of the things I've always known about myself is I'm good for about 36 to 48 months of anything. Beyond that, it's like, okay, you can maintain. I need to go create. And so I started my own organization, and it allowed me a great deal of creativity because then I could look at other people's problems and think about how to solve them and do it in a way that allowed them to leverage everything I had learned. But in November of 2014, yes, I received a call. And the call was about this opportunity and the need. And it was the first time I think I truly got a call up. And I truly understood how our veterans feel when they take the call or when they sign up or when they show up. And it was an interesting decision. It was a family decision. I have a son who's now 18 and my husband, and he says, you know, everything you've done has prepared you for this. This is the right thing to do, you know, and it's time to serve. And so that's how I look at it. This is my time to serve. But there was nothing that quite could prepare me for some of the nuanced differences. But I would also tell you that everything that I've known, everything that I've ever done, I've been able to leverage, and I'm real proud of that.
That's a great segue, because I want to get a sense of your leadership style and your leadership principles as you apply them. So could you give us a sense of what makes an effective leader? And more importantly, what leadership lessons have you learned through your private sector experiences that you've brought to VA?
It's been really interesting because the first thing I did when entering into VA was talk about the true principles of what we had to be and what we would consider our key principles, which was transparency, accountability, innovation, and teamwork. I find that those are critical responses and principles and characteristics of good leaders, by the way. Leaders that are transparent and accountable will share what needs to be shared, and they'll do it in a way that allows other people to embrace the mission but also feel included. I think good leaders tend to have a strong leaning toward innovation. They're not afraid of new, and they're also not afraid to learn. I think great leaders are always in learning mode. Any leader that stops learning, I think, creates a real gap for their organization and also creates an opportunity not to have a challenge brought to them. In addition, as a good leader, I always think that you have to have a strong sense of team, that you have to value that either amongst yourself as other leaders or also being a part of the team when the team needs you. For me, myself, my natural position is coach. I like influencing. I like knowing that I have something to do with something. But it doesn't matter if I'm the one on the front line or not. I think what coaches do is sort of push you to places that you may not have thought you could go. Knowing that you may not get exactly where they're asking you to go, but you're going to go further than you thought you could. And they take great pride in watching people grow and watching people improve and watching people take chances and risk, knowing that you have their back and knowing that, you know, they can fail fast and fail forward. I find that great leaders understand that. Great leaders support trying. And great leaders know how to take a failure and make a success out of it.
What is VA's IT strategy? We will ask its Chief Information Officer, Laverne Council, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.